Hare Krishna. I wish to sincerely offer my gratitude to each and every one of you for coming today to Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir. My special thankfulness to Yadubar Prabhu for his divine association and wonderful kirtan. A few days ago, I received a telephone call from His Holiness Niranjan Swami Maharaj. He told me that the biggest festival of the year in the country of Ukraine takes place in Odessa, very famous historical city. I believe 3,000 or 4,000 people assemble from all over the country. Yes? How many? Thousands of people. Ukraine is one of the most successful nations in the world for the spreading of Krishna consciousness. In this country, which previously was the Soviet Union, part of the, it was always a separate country but very much under the Russian control during the communist times. Niranjan Maharaj was fearlessly risking his life going to Ukraine even then, during communism. And after the doors of the nation opened to the free world, he became GBC and the most wonderful leader. Under him is Achyuta Priya Prabhu, who is regional secretary of the entire nation. There's about 50 centers in the country of Ukraine. Thousands of devotees who are committing their lives. With their own hands, they built a beautiful temple in Kiev, the capital. It's quite amazing. Last year, during Pune Yatra, we saw Essay and Soul and Yadubar Prabhu made that wonderful documentary about the festival in Odessa and the history of the preaching in Ukraine. So Niranjan Swami just came from that festival, and he told me the grand finale of the festival was when everyone came together for a kirtan, where thousands and thousands of people were dancing and dancing and dancing and crying out the holy name in great joy. It lasted for many hours. And the personality who led that kirtan was the illustrious Yadubar Prabhu. Hare Krishna. The association of devotees has the power to transform a person's heart. That is why Srimad Bhagavatam declares that elevation to heavenly planets, liberation, mystic cities, all these things are very insignificant and pale in value compared to one moment's association with a sincere devotee of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prayed in his instructions to Sanatan Goswami that even a moment's association of a great devotee is the most precious thing that can possibly be achieved, because it can open the doors to the perfection of liberation. Little Prahlad, 5-year-old devotee, he was in a society of envious, greedy demons. But just by his little association, all the classmates in the school, they were transformed. Were performing Hari Katha and Hari Kirtan together. Such is the power of one sincere devotee. Even when he was totally outnumbered by an entire civilization of asuras. Krishna consciousness is about the transformation of the heart that takes place according to the choices we make and the association that we keep. But we should understand what it means to associate with devotees. It really means to be in the spirit of hearing and chanting together, carrying out the will of Krishna together, in a spirit of service. That is what association of devotee is about. Krishna tells in Gita that there is divine and demoniac natures within the human society. Previously, in previous yugas, the devotees and the demons were in different universes. And then as things degraded, the devotees and the demons were in different planets. But in Kali Yuga, especially, devotees and demons are in the same heart, of the same body, of the same person. Krishna tells us we must conquer the lower self with the higher self. The dualities are so powerful in this age of Kali. Happiness, distress, honor, dishonor, honesty, dishonesty, truthfulness, untruthfulness, pleasure, pain, success, failure, victory, defeat, heat, cold, up, down, right, left, everywhere is dualities. But especially the divine and the demoniac. Humility, egotism, lust, self-control, envy, forgiveness, anger, compassion. These are all dualities. And they are both residing simultaneous in the heart of a conditioned soul. Krishna consciousness, or real spiritual life, is about overcoming the lower nature with our higher nature. The Native American Indians explained the same principle that is so elaborately revealed in Bhagavad Gita in very simple, basic analogy. which does strike the heart. They explain that within every human being, there are two dogs that are fighting with each other. There is a good dog and a bad dog. And they are fighting. Who will win the fight? Whichever dog is given the most food. That is the free will of a human being. This is our God-given nature. Something that distinguishes the human being from the lower species. We have free will. We can make a choice at every moment. And really, what our choice is, are we going to feed nourishment to the bad dog or the good dog? To the demoniac or the divine? We feed that which we give the most of our energy to. Jayato Vishayan Pungsang. Krishna explains in Gita, when one contemplates the objects of the senses, one develops attachment. This is a law. If you contemplate the objects of the senses, you will become attached. From attachment, lust, kama, arises. When that lust is frustrated, which it will be, in due course, krodha, anger. From anger, delusion. From delusion, bewilderment of memory. When the memory is bewildered, intelligence is lost, and when intelligence is lost, we engage in abominable activities and fall down again into the material pool. The nature of the mind is thinking, feeling, and willing. We also have power of speech and power of action. So through our words, our deeds, and our thoughts, at every moment we have the choice of whether we're going to give strength and power to our lower nature or higher nature. And according to the choices that we make at every moment, that is what is going to determine the state of our consciousness. That is going to be who we are and where we're going. So yes, due to so many conditionings, sometimes loving, compassionate thoughts that are full of virtue just arise from our subconsciousness into our consciousness. And at other times, evil thoughts, envious thoughts, egoistic, lusty thoughts, they arise within, from the subconsciousness to the stratum of our perception. Which are we going to give attention to? Bhagavad Gita explains that there's no question of yoga without control of the mind and the senses. The mind is so difficult to control. We were discussing this last night. Arjuna tells that it is more control than the more difficult to control than the raging wind. Now, for those of you who are up to date with the current news of the world, mass hurricanes on August 29th, Hurricane Katrina. It was just a very minor hurricane in Florida. Didn't really do much damage. But then when it touched the warm waters of the Gulf of Mexico, just expanded into a deadly, earth-shaking monster of a wind. Hare Krishna. And when they saw that it was coming with such ferociousness, what did the President of the United States, the Governor of Louisiana, Mississippi, did they shoot their bombs? Did they send their military? All they could do was say, evacuate. Get out.
Yes.
According to, usually when you go to the bathroom, that's what you do, you evacuate. Sorry, such reaction I'm getting. So in the same way, just get out. Run for your life. There's no hope. And such devastation. 80% of one of the most important cities of America, 80% was underwater, up to 20 feet. The plumbing, the sewage, the electricity, the telephone lines, everything finished. And people were so deprived, people were starving. So many people got guns and they were shooting at each other and they were robbing stores, breaking into places, just pilfering people's homes, raping people. People were going mad with frustration, depression, and desperation. You could really see the caliber of people's consciousness when they're in desperation. Some people, when they're in desperation, they turn to God and they humble themselves and say, "My Lord, save me," and cry out His holy name with great devotion. Other people in desperation, they just become very silent and just, you know, pray. Others become depressed. Others risk their lives to try to help other people. And other people, they just become utterly demoniac. They rob, they steal, they kill, anything for survival. And others take advantage of it. It's a time to get rich. People are vulnerable. So yes, many things are revealed when people are in desperate conditions. So it was a desperate situation. And with $60 billion of insured losses, what to speak of uninsured? $60 billion is what insurance companies have to pay for insured property that was destroyed. Powerful disaster. 1,000 people killed. Very sad. Very, very sad. And in our temple in New Orleans, they were cut off from the world. They had no capacity to give any signal or message to anyone. The postal system was finished. The telephone system was finished. There's no emails. There's no electricity. Nothing. But finally, somehow or other, they got one phone call through. I don't know how they do it, to the temple in Dallas, and told the condition they're in. The deities and 19 devotees, installed deities, 19 devotees, were trapped in this house. They couldn't go anywhere. Surrounded by looting, violence, shooting, raping. Surrounded by deep water, levees broken. There was no plumbing, no sewage, no electricity, no gas. They ran out of food. It's very difficult. 19 people living in a house in that condition. So the devotees previously, they volunteered to help the government, but the government didn't want any help in helping people. So they concentrated their energy, let us save the devotees from this horrible predicament. They had a meeting from 7 at night till 3 in the morning and decided, we're going to New Orleans and we're going to rescue the devotees and the deities. Very dangerous. Because no one was allowed in the city. Everyone was leaving the city. No one was going to the city. The roads were blocked coming in and open going out. Because it was so dangerous. There was so much violence. It was like a jungle of violence. And so much disease and strife and poverty. It's horrible. They had to pass through 40 checkpoints where they were stopped at roadblocks on the road. Somehow they convinced everyone to let them go. They had an 18-wheel truck in a van. And hours and hours and hours, Krishna somehow or other got them through. And as they were on the highway, they saw thousands and thousands of people just walking out of New Orleans, just stranded on the highway. They were just walking for days, begging people for rides. People were starving. People were sick. Pitiable state. This is the United States of America. Last week, Hare Krishna. 1,000 dead. Hundreds and thousands homeless in a prominent city. And finally, they got to the city limits and they were stopped for hours and hours and hours. And somehow or other, they convinced the government, the military, to let them in. And as they were going through the city, they just saw dead bodies and they saw so much violence. And they saw people in totally desperate conditions, trapped. They had no way out. It was very sad. And they were trying to get to the temple. But yet, on the way, there were trees blown down blocking the road, or there was roadblocks, or there was big floods. So they were just zigzagging, zigzagging, zigzagging all over the city, hour after hour after hour. They happened to have one devotee who was with them by Krishna's mercy, who previously was a taxi driver in New Orleans. So he knew the roads. And finally they got to the temple. And when they got to the temple, there were military helicopters everywhere, and they were thinking they were going to take their truck away from them. So they had to do it immediately, otherwise, because they weren't supposed to be in the city. Everyone going out, they're going in. Very difficult. So somehow they brought all the deities and put them in nice boxes with cushions that they from Dallas, and they brought all the devotees and came back to Dallas with great difficulty. The devotees were practically starving. And when they arrived at Dallas, which is hundreds and hundreds of miles away, the Dallas devotees greeted them with kirtan. All the devotees were so happy. And off the truck comes Srila Prabhupada's murti. Then beautiful marble deities of Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya. Then large beautiful deities of Baladev, Subhadra, Jagannath. And then the presiding deities, Radharani and Radhakanta, Sri Sri Radha, Radhakanta. And the devotees cooked a big feast. So everyone was very happy. Very difficult strife. Padam padam yad vipadam natesham. Danger at every step. and the city of New Orleans so much trying to just put things together. They spent millions and millions of dollars working hard, military and all kinds of philanthropic agencies trying to resurrect the city, trying to make it all right again. And yesterday, another hurricane, Rita. She struck Texas, but she came close enough to New Orleans where the winds from the outside of the hurricane broke the levees again and put the city again underwater. And the person in charge of the city said, "We are back to square one as far as fixing the damage." So much loss. So difficult. Big problems. But yet Arjuna tells that to control the mind is more difficult than controlling the wind. And this is just a small sample of power of the wind. The most powerful, wealthy country in the world was helpless when this wind came crashing to them. So what is our hope of controlling the mind? And Krishna tells in Gita, by constant practice and detachment, it could be done. And what is that constant practice and detachment? Manmanabhava madbhakto. To fix our consciousness on Krishna. Because Krishna is the controller of all controllers. Tumi Sarveshwareshwara Brajendra Kumara. The son of Nanda Maharaj is the controller of all controllers. He is Ishwara Parama, the supreme. Mayadhyakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam. The whole material energy is working under his direction. So it is only by the mercy of Krishna that it is possible that we could control our mind. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhaktaruchyate. When we engage our mind and our senses in the service of Rishikesh, who's the master of the mind and senses, then by his mercy only it is possible. Krishna tells in Gita, Daidiheshu Gunamayi Mama Maya Duratyaya. This material nature, which is constituted of the dualities, which are stimulated and activated by the three modes of material nature, is very difficult to overcome. But one who takes shelter of me can easily cross beyond it. Samashuta ye pada palava plavam. The Bhagavad declares that this world is a place where there is danger at every step. But for one who takes shelter of the Supreme Lord, then the oceanic miseries and complexities of material existence become reduced to the water contained within the small hoofprint of a calf. That is the power of Krishna. So how to control the mind? Krishna tells, if we are just sincere, he will preserve what we have and carry what we lack. If we are just sincere to try, Krishna will give us all help. If we just try to do the will of Krishna, what does Krishna want me to do in this situation? Material life is about perplexities and indecision. Yes? So many little things and big things. It's so difficult to make a proper decision. Should I do this way or that way? From the point of major business decisions, major political decisions, who I'm going to marry, who I'm not going to marry, who we're going to have our children marry, what I'm going to study in school, what I'm going to do for my occupation, how I'm going to deal with this problem that has come upon me, even to the smallest thing of which sari I'm going to put on today. Hare Krishna. So many perplexities. Now, for brahmacharis, it's not a problem. Because we wear the same exact thing every day, no matter what. Very well. So that makes life easy. Other people, very difficult. We have seen people go to stores and they're just so on a mental platform. Should I buy this clothes? Do I look better in this or do I look better in that? And they're all looking in the mirrors and everyone's giving their opinion and everyone has a different opinion. And Brahmachari walks by and says, "You're not this body, you fool." Then they really get on the mental platform. So much indecisions. But Krishna has given us his decisions. Krishna speaks Bhagavad Gita, tells us how to be humble, how to be honest, how to be faithful to the vows we take in our life. And then he tells Arjuna and he tells the whole world, "I have given you the information you need to uplift yourself. Now you have your choice." When we follow the will of God, we are nourishing our divine nature. When we are following our own speculations, we are endangering our lives, our spiritual lives, by feeding the bad dog. Hare Krishna. And they're both fighting. They're fighting like anything. Now for materialistic people, the bad dog is just practically eating the good dog. Yes, depending in the mode of ignorance, the bad dog is just feasting off the good dog. In the mode of passion, it's a good fight. It's quite passionate fight. In the mode of goodness, the good dog has some strength. Therefore, according to the Shastra, before we could transcend the modes of nature, we must come to the mode of goodness. We must make the right choices. But to transcend the modes of nature, mamanabhavamadbhakto, we must fix our consciousness on Krishna. Because the thoughts that we contemplate, the thoughts that we choose to give attention to, are going to become more and more powerful. And they are going to impel us to act and to speak. Yes? The thoughts that we give our attention to are going to induce us to speak accordingly. Speech affects very much how we're going to act. According to how we act, we develop habits. And according to the habits we create, Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj wrote this, it creates our culture. And our culture very much determines our life and where we're going, individually and collectively. So it all begins with our thoughts. How to control our thoughts. The easiest way to always remember Krishna is to accept the Yuga Dharma, the prime benediction for all humanity, the chanting of the holy names. So these hurricanes, this bad dog is barking so loud. Are we going to feed him or are we going to starve him? Where are we going to put our energy? Where are we going to contemplate? That is why Srila Prabhupada said the idle mind is the devil's workshop. He quoted. This is a traditional saying. Because we are conditioned. The whole material world is so full of passion and ignorance. The vibration of passion and ignorance is so all-pervading. It affects everyone. Therefore, Vyabashayatmaka Bhutir Eke Hakuru Nandana Bahushaka Yanantashab Bhutayo Vyabashayanam. We must be determined. We must be determined that whenever and wherever the mind wanders to immoral, impious, envious thoughts, lusty thoughts, we must drag it back. We must fix it on positive devotional service. Therefore, it is so very important that we're busy. Sometimes devotees wanted to imitate Haridas Thakur and just chant all day long. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur condemned such people. You're sitting there chanting, but where is your mind? Go out and do some work for Krishna. Hare Krishna. Do seva for Krishna. Absorb your mind in your seva. Then come back with that proper service attitude and chant the holy names and try to really fix your mind on Krishna. Not hypocrisy, but with sincerity. And we must control our speech. The propensity for gossip, prajalpa, is so strong. Yes? Thakur Bhakti Vinod said, if you could control your tongue, all the other senses come in line. Tongue means what you eat and what you speak. Very difficult. What we eat is difficult enough, but what we speak is more difficult. We have such a tendency. Because the false ego. Yes, Krishna speaks the Gita. So we want to speak. It is our nature. We want to be the authority. We want people to hear us. Hare Krishna. Everyone has their opinion. In India, that was the amazing thing that devotees realized when they came to India. Everyone claims they know Krishna. And everybody has their own unique interpretation of Krishna. Devotees would try to preach. This was in the early 70s. People, yes, yes, I know Krishna. Yes, yes, I know Krishna. You cannot convince a person who thinks that they already know. That's what the whole Gita is about. Arjuna thought he knew what was best for him. So Krishna didn't even try to speak a word to him. No use arguing with a person who thinks that they know. Krishna was silent. Until just the evolution of events within Arjuna's mind and the environment around him brought him to the conclusion of so much pain and distress that he realized, Krishna, I do not know anything. Please, I'm your disciple. Speak. All friendly talks are finished now. I surrender to you. I'm desperate. Speak. Then Krishna smiled and spoke. He said, Arjuna, you are a fool. Hare Krishna. You are lamenting for what is not worthy of lamentation. So he put Arjuna in a position where he understood he was an ignorant fool. Which is good, because then he could hear. Then he was receptive. But people are very proud to speak. And we have seen, sometimes people are so conditioned to teaching others, you can't tell them anything. They just can't grasp anything. They can only give. They cannot receive. Yes? That's false ego. I know. And even if you don't know, you pretend you know. Hare Krishna. That's the false ego. Even if somebody else does something, you want to take credit for it. And if you do something wrong, you want to give blame to someone else. That is the nature of the ego. And we're trying to get praise. But when devotees, real devotees, see you have these qualities, they simply weep in sorrow and sympathy for you. They're not impressed. Any fool can take credit for what good things they do and give blame to the bad things, to others. Any fool does that. A great soul is one who gives the credit of the good things to Krishna, Guru, Vaishnavas, and everyone else, and takes all blame upon themselves. That is a great soul. When we see those qualities, oh, then we bow down with great reverence from the core of our hearts, because that is a saintly quality. But it is rare. So yes, this urge to speak is so strong. Bhagavatam describes when we're not speaking about Krishna, all this gossip, all this mundane talk is like the croaking of frogs. Now, what is the psychology of frog? You may not know, but Krishna knows, because he's the Paramatma within the frog's heart. He knows exactly the motivation of frog, and Krishna is revealing it through Srimad Bhagavatam and through the Acharyas. Would you like to know the psychoanalyst of a frog's mentality? It's very important. The frog is going like that. And it's miserable. Nobody likes frogs. But the frog is thinking that he or she is reciting the most unique compositions of eloquent poetry. Really? Oh, they're so proud. Like that. Like that. But what's really happening is nobody likes it. Other frogs like it, because frogs are like frogs. That is their conditioning. But the snake at night can't see anything. And he's hungry as anything to eat frogs. That's a very delicious feast for a snake, is a frog. So he can't see. It's dark. He's slithering around looking for frogs. And then he hears... Oh, the frog is calling me. He just follows the sound and... Utsav. A grand feast. Yes? So Bhagavatam declares like this, that the frog is thinking he's singing beautiful poetry to attract female frogs or male frogs, but actually he's attracting the snake of death to come to devour them. So Prabhupada explains this is the nature of prajalpa. When we speak gossip of others, when we criticize others, when we speak about useless topics, what's happening? Our devotion, our good qualities are just being drained out of our hearts through our mouth, and we're just losing it all. Hare Krishna. That is the power of prajalpa. We're just draining our devotional energies and all of our good qualities through our gossip and our criticism of others. In fact, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, when you criticize others with your mouth, you are drinking poison. a poison that will kill the inclination for devotional service. And there's only one antidote for drinking poison: to drink nectar. Because it's very difficult to keep the tongue still. Prabhupada explained there are many people in India who are called Moni Babas. That means they take vows of silence. Srila Prabhupada explained, if you're talking all nonsense, then your guru says, take vow of Moni Baba. Better speak nothing than all nonsense. But I have seen, when I was traveling around Himalayas and other holy places, I would meet Moni Babas, and they would have a little piece of slate and a little piece of chalk, and they wouldn't speak a word, and so many thousands of people were coming to touch their feet and offer them bananas and rice because they're Moni Babas, such an austerity, they never talk. But then they're writing. And what I couldn't believe was they were usually writing all nonsense. They were writing prajalpa. They can't speak it, but they're writing it. Hare Krishna. Very difficult. Very difficult to control this urge to communicate. How is it possible? Krishna consciousness is about replacing the negative with the positive. Krishna consciousness is about nourishing the good dog. Speak about Krishna. Speak about devotional service. Glorify others and chant the holy names. This was the Brijabasi's Gopi's prayer. My dear tongue, they're actually praying to their tongue. My dear tongue, taste the nectar of the holy names Govinda, Damodar, and Madhava. And our actions. At every moment, we have the choice of what we're going to think, what we're going to speak, and what we're going to do. And the choice that we make is going to feed, nourish, and give strength either to our lower nature or higher nature. Cultivation of consciousness is what human life is for. It is vital. It is essential. What you associate with, you become like. What are the thoughts we're associating with? What are the words we're associating with? What are the actions we are associating with? These will be very much dependent on the choice of who we're going to associate with. Because if you're with sincere devotees, if you talk prajalpa, they're going to tell you, they're not going to take any interest. They're not going to be impressed. Somebody was recently explaining, in the very high circles of Bombay society, in these social events, where they come together, dressed very nicely, very prestigious, sometimes newspapers are taking flash cameras all over, and you know. So basically what they do is they drink liquor and talk gossip. They just criticize people behind their backs to each other. And this is nectar. This is their ras. This is their experience of happiness. Just talking about other people's scandals, other people's downfalls, other people's faults, other people's ridiculous behaviors. They take pleasure. But what kind of pleasure is that? It's like decorations on a dead body. Machitamakata prana bodhyanta parasparam katayantaschamam nityam tushantiyantamanticha ramanticha. My devotees, their minds are always dwelling on me. Their thoughts are always on me. They derive great satisfaction and bliss coming together and conversing about me. So in that association, it is encouraged. It becomes easy. When you're with sincere devotees, it's embarrassing to speak about anything but the glories of other Vaishnavas, the processes of devotional service, and the pastimes and teachings of Krishna. And we need that support. We need that association. Thus, Srila Prabhupada said, anyone who thinks they could be Krishna conscious without the association of devotees is insane. It's just not possible. Associating with sincere people who have high aspirations is all important, because it cultivates right thoughts, right speech, and right actions. To give strength to our higher nature to conquer our lower nature. I'll give one example from Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. There was a devotee named Gadadhar Das. Gadadhar Das was an intimate associate of Lord Nityananda Prabhu and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Lord Chaitanya told him to go from Puri to Bengal to assist Nityananda Prabhu in his preaching mission of delivering the fallen souls. And Nityananda Prabhu, who is Sri Balaram himself, just by his glance, he would induce the awakening of such ecstatic love of God in people's hearts and such fearless compassion. We know, Dinahina yata chilo harinam udharilo. He had so much faith in the holy name of Krishna, so much faith in the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, that he went right up to Jagai and Madhai and told them, give up your sins and chant harinam. Krishna is your mother, Krishna is your father, Krishna is your wealth, Krishna is your life and soul. Chant the names of Krishna, worship Krishna, hear the teachings of Krishna. Who would dare to speak these words to Jagai and Madhai? And even they chased him to kill him, he went back and told them the same thing. And even when they tried to murder him by crashing him with pot in the head, he still repeated the same message. And ultimately, they became great devotees, paramhamsas, the crest jewel of living beings. This is Nityananda Prabhu. Just his glance would induce such love in people's hearts. And what is love of God? The love of God in this material world must manifest itself as selfless compassion to others. Without compassion, there can be no real love. It is all a hoax. So Gadadhar Das, whoever he met, he would induce them to chant the names of Krishna. It didn't matter who it was. He did not consider what a person's past, what a person's reputation, what a person's status. He just wanted everyone to be intoxicated with the holy name. He was always blissful, just preaching the glories of Nam Sankirtan. The village he lived in, there was a Qazi. I will tell you something about this Qazi. He was ferocious. He was the most violent, evil, and envious man. And he had unlimited hatred for the Sankirtan movement. Unlimited hatred. He would go wild with anger and violently persecute anyone who took the names of Lord Hari. He was so sinful that no decent people wanted to go near him. If a breeze touched his body and touched another person, they would jump in the Ganges to cleanse themselves. He was such a sinful man that people thought if he even looked in their direction, they would lose their caste. When even the sound that he would be coming, people would run for their lives. That's how people feared this ferocious, evil-minded Qazi. Now, Gadadhar Das, one day, in ecstatic bliss, he ran. This was actually at night. He ran right into the Qazi's house, loudly chanting the names of Krishna. Now, the Qazi had military guards. And on the Qazi's order, they would punish anybody who in any way offended him. And there was no greater offense than chanting the names of Krishna in his house. But Gadadhar just went running right into the house in the night, chanting the holy names very loudly. The guards, they didn't know what to do. All they could do is just sit down and watch. And then Gadadhar cried out in a thunderous voice, "Aha! Where is that rascal Qazi? I order you, chant the holy name of Krishna at this very moment, otherwise I will cut off your wretched, ugly head." The Qazi heard every word. He was angry as fire. He came running out to murder that rascal who spoke such blasphemy against him. But when he saw Gadadhar, he became very peaceful. Because Gadadhar was such an ocean of love and compassion. And finally, the Qazi said, "Gadadhar Das, why have you come here in the middle of the night?" And Gadadhar Das said, "I have come to tell you something. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda are the one supreme personality of Godhead who have descended into this world. They have come to inundate the whole world with love of God through the chanting of the holy names of Lord Hari. Every mouth of everyone is chanting the holy name of Lord Hari, except you, Qazi. I have come today to order you to chant the holy name of Lord Hari, and I will deliver you of all sins." The Qazi was stunned. He could not speak a word. And finally, he said, "Gadadhar, it's late at night. I'll chant Hari tomorrow. Now you just go home, please." And Gadadhar began to dance and dance and dance and clap his hand. He said, "Why tomorrow? You, from your mouth has emanated the name of Lord Hari. Therefore, all of your sins are delivered." And then Gadadhar was clapping and dancing ecstatically all over Qazi's house. And everyone just watched. And then with all humility, after doing Nam Sankirtan, Gadadhar Das left. This was his compassion. This was his fearlessness. This is the power of how he could transform someone's heart just by a moment's association. Imagine. People felt that they lost their caste and became sinful if they saw him. If they were touched by a breeze that went near him.
But Gadadhar Das went right into his house, went right up to him, looked at him right in the eyes, and by the glance of Gadadhar's love and the compassion of his heart, he transformed the Kazi's heart. In other words, he fed the good dog and gave that strength by which the Kazi became delivered. So that is the importance of making the right choices within our life. Sometimes great devotees of the Lord, on behalf of Krishna, who is all merciful, intervene in our life, interfere with our sense gratification to give us a chance. But even then, we always have free will. Our progress or our downfall is always dependent on how we utilize our free will at every moment. Are we cultivating remembrance of Krishna? Are we cultivating sincerity of service to Krishna? Are we speaking positive subject matters that invigorate and enliven the heart? Or are we simply wasting the most precious moments that we have in this very short human form of life? No greater tragedy, according to Vishnu Purana, than to take human life and waste a single moment. We may have occupational duties, we may have so many things that we must do as responsibilities to family and society. But we should do it with dignity and integrity, and at every possible moment, whenever possible, we should be seeking the chance to hear and chant the glories of Krishna. That is sincere human life. We must develop a thirst for Hari Katha and Hari Kirtan. And we develop that thirst by nourishing the desire for that thirst. Vaidhi Bhakti means we have no real enthusiasm for the right things, but we do it anyway as a tapasya. Tapo divyam putrika yena sattvam. The purpose of human life is tapasya, to do the right thing, even if we don't feel like it. Vaidhi Bhakti means the bad dog is growling and barking and just fighting ferociously, and the good dog is very weak because it hasn't been fed properly in many, many births, maybe millions of births. Yes? The uncontrolled mind, the uncontrolled tongue, the uncontrolled actions of our body have become our habitual life. Yes? Vaidhi Bhakti means tapasya. Whatever my mind says, I'm going to use my intelligence to speak the right thing, to contemplate the right thing, and to act properly. The body of a human being is like a chariot. The senses are like five horses. And the mind is the ropes that are the instrument to control those horses. And the intelligence is the driver. When the mind dictates to the intelligence, then we are driving into the darkest regions. Tamodvaram yoshita sangi sangam. We are driving into the darkness of ignorance. But when the intelligence, which is nourished by the words of Krishna, Guru, the Acharyas, Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, then Mahatsevam Dwaram Ahuravam Oktvesh. Then our intelligence will lead our life to the light of supreme liberation, to Krishna. That is our choice. What will we choose? We must cultivate. Vaidhi Bhakti is about making that choice. It's not about just let everything go. Don't suppress. Don't repress. We don't suppress and depress in an impersonal way of just saying no, 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 no. We are always saying yes, 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 yes to the will of God. We repress, we starve the bad dog and feed the good dog. That is the path of perfection. And gradually, by cultivating this culture within our own heart, Prabhupada said, how do we get rid of bad habits? By replacing them with good habits. And then we come to the point of Raganuga Bhakti. We come to the point of spontaneous devotional service. Where that higher nature is cultivated and nourished by the energy of our attention to so much that we have agreed for hearing about Krishna, agreed for chanting the names of Krishna. Just like that one devotee at Puri, he was tasting the holy name so sweetly he couldn't stop chanting. His tongue just would never stop chanting. It couldn't say anything else. It was just Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Just chanting. He was tasting nectar. He was going to the bathroom. Evacuation. We all have to evacuate every day. So he was thinking, this is an impure place I'm going. How can I take the name of Krishna? So he was holding his tongue. Ram, Ram, Hare Krishna. But his tongue just wouldn't stop chanting. So this little boy named Gopal, he saw, what are you doing? What, this is really a strange thing. Person has his sacred thread wrapped around his ear. He has a lota in one hand, in his left hand, and he has his gumshan, and he's going to the seashore, and he's, what are you doing? He said, my tongue just won't stop chanting the holy names. However, I'm going to evacuate. I'm going to respond to the calls of nature. I cannot be taking Krishna's name there. And the little boy said, Nam Namakari Bahu Nija Sarvashatis Tatrapita Smarita. Lord Chaitanya has taught us that Krishna is non-different in his names, and by his causeless mercy, there is no hard and fast rule for chanting. You can chant anywhere, anywhere. That is the power of the holy name. Doing puja, you can't worship the deity. You have to take your bath. You have to do your achman. You have to do all sorts of purifications before you worship the deity. If you touch the deity without that, you're making serious offenses. You can't do yajnas unless you're very clean and you go through all sorts of purifications. But the holy name is so accessible in any condition, anywhere, at any time. You can access the complete mercy of the Lord by sincerely crying out his holy name. Lord Chaitanya was watching. He was very pleased. He called this little boy Gopal and said, because you were speaking the absolute truth so nicely about the glories of the holy name, you are Guru. So from this day on, your name will be Gopal Guru. And he became one of the greatest acharyas of the Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya. Later on, Gopal Guru Goswami. So this is how that attraction, that attachment to Krishna awakens within our heart. But it doesn't come cheaply. It is accessible and available to everyone. It doesn't matter whether you're man or woman, whether you're rich or poor, whether you're from a high caste or a low caste. whether you're American or Indian or Pakistani or African or Yugoslavian, it doesn't matter. Srila Prabhupada sent devotees into China. And now there's hundreds, thousands of Chinese people who have become addicted to the holy name of Krishna. It was a difficulty. Because in the Chinese vocabulary, there was no word for God, a supreme person. They had to somehow or other invent different words to designate a supreme person. But now those same people are doing kirtan in the streets. Arivo. Yes. It is the nature of every living being. It simply must be uncovered, and it is uncovered by association of devotees. In the association of devotees, we understand not only what is to our best interest, we understand who we are, the spirit soul. We understand the nature of the lower self and the higher self. And we understand how to feed the higher self, how to nourish and give her strength. And gradually that develops into greed to hear about the Lord, greed to chant about the Lord, enthusiasm and attachment for those things that are favorable for the purification of our heart. Material designations cannot enter into the realm of transcendental life. Everyone is an eternal spirit soul. Everyone is a child of God. Everyone can become perfect if they simply make the right choices in this valuable human life. The choice to keep always connected with Krishna. And nourish the higher self. At this time, we would like to ask Yadubar Prabhu to speak some words according to his realizations.
Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharane Nirvase Sashunyavari Paskachari Sakarane Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaurava Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. So it is the nature of the great souls to think whatever they have done is not very significant and to glorify the actions of everyone else. So my realization has come to me just now because of the kind words that Niranjana Swami has related to Radhanath Maharaj about that last kirtan in Ukraine, because it was not I who led that kirtan, it was Niranjana Swami himself. So, I led before. So I can feel the, in my own life, the kind benediction of the Vaishnavas. Because my record is not very glorious. Sometimes we have difficulty in devotional service, and I'm not an exception. After Srila Prabhupada left, it was very, very difficult for many, many devotees. But relatively recently, by the kindness of these two great souls, I find myself rejuvenated and revived. And certainly not by my own endeavor. I feel myself very fortunate to be in the association of all of you. Now I have to work on getting my better half and my child here very quickly so we can stay long term. So in that vein that I was speaking before, I was saying this in a class the other night, that Krishna consciousness is a very gradual process, that is nothing quick, at least in most people's cases. And sometimes we become discouraged because it is such a gradual process. It takes a long, long time. Sometimes many, many lives. But we should be very patient. That is one of the essential ingredients in devotional service, and that is patience. Patience, determination, and enthusiasm. So we should never become discouraged because the goal is so wonderful. We can't imagine how wonderful. We hear so many times about the glories of the Lord and His Dham. And sometimes we may get a small glimpse of that realm. So we should never give up in our endeavor for Krishna consciousness. We should never become discouraged. Because the alternative is not good. Feeding the bad dog brings bad result. We should be convinced of that. So your good fortune is already here. You have such a wonderful qualified leader in His Holiness Radhana Swami. And we are on the boat. And Prabhupada, he said, he was speaking one afternoon in front of the Dallas Temple. He was sitting on the front porch. Devotees were gathered around him. He looked at all of us and he said, "You are very fortunate." But then immediately he said, "Don't become unfortunate by giving up Krishna consciousness." So we are all in a similar position. And the bad dog of material desires may be barking very loudly, extremely loudly. But we have to take shelter of the Vaishnavas. When that happens, there is a sure remedy. And that is running to the lotus feet of a Vaishnava. And you may want to reveal your mind. How difficult it is not to act on that impulse. Association and chanting the holy name. These are two good remedies. Sometimes we are very desperate, and if we can call out in desperation on the Lord, to the Lord, that is a very good remedy. And also the association of great souls. So we should always remember when that dog is barking to do one of two things. It's always available. If we are alone, the chanting of the holy name is there. If we are not, we can do both. Chant and get the association of advanced Vaishnava. So thank you very much for allowing me to speak. Again, I am most fortunate. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Jadubar Prabhu ki.
Thank you. Thank you very, very much.
Now let us take shelter of the holy dames.